Epilogue. Fate. The prophet sees them die. He sees them fall, one by one, until at last he stands alone, possessing nothing but a broken blade in his bleeding hands. A warrior with no brothers, a master with no slaves, a soldier with no sword. Sirion is not the first to die, but his death is the worst to witness. The inhuman fire, burning dark with alien witchlight, eats at his motionless corpse. An outstretched hand rests with its fingers blackened and curled, just shy of a fallen bolter. Zal, the strongest of them, should be the last to die, not the first. Dismembered, reduced to hunks of armor-wrapped meat, his death is neither quick nor painless, and offers only a shadow of the glory he so craved. It is not a death he would have welcomed, but his enemies, those few that still draw breath when the sun finally rises, after the longest night of their lives, will remember him until their own eventual ends. That, at least, is a comfort he can take beyond the grave. Mercutian is not the last either. Miserable, loyal Mercutian, standing over his brothers' bodies, defending them against shrieking Xenos bitch creatures that take him to pieces with curved blades. He fights past the point of death, fueling his body with stubborn anger, when organs and blood and air are no longer enough. When he falls, it's with an apology on his lips. Varyl dies with Sirion. The Watcher feels a strange sorrow at that. Sirion and Varyl are not close, can barely stand to hear each other's voices. The same flames that embrace the former leap to embrace the latter, bringing death for one and pain for the other. Varyl dies unarmed, and he is the only one to do so. Uzas is the last. Uzas, his soul etched with god runes, even if his armor is not. He is the last to fall, his axe and gladius bathed red in stinking alien blood. Shadows dance in a closing circle around him, howling madness from inhuman throats. He meets them with cries of his own, first of rage, then of pain, and at last of laughter. The Navigator covers both her secrets in black, but only one can be so easily hidden. As she runs through the nighttime city streets, beneath starlight kinder to her pale skin than the Covenant's unlight could ever be, she looks over her shoulder for signs of pursuit. For now, there are none. The Watcher feels her relief, even though this is a dream and she cannot see him. Breathless, hiding, she checks her secrets, ensuring both are safe. The bandana is still in place, sheathing her invaluable gift from those who would never understand. He watches as her shivering hands stray down her body, resting at her second secret. Pale fingers stroke a swollen belly, barely concealed by her black jacket. The Watcher knows that coat. It belongs to Septimus. Voices shout for her, challenging and cursing in the same breath. A tall figure appears at the mouth of the alley. He is armored lightly for pursuit and the running gunfights of a street battle.
"Hold, heretic, in the name of the Holy Inquisition!"
Octavia runs again, cradling her rounded stomach as gunfire cracks at her heels. The prophet opened his eyes. Around him, nothing more than a chamber, the cold comfort of his personal cell. The walls were already touched by Nostraman cuneiform, the flowing script written in some places, carved in others. The same etchings and scratchings were visible on the warrior's own armor, scrawled in mindless, prophetic decoration. The dagger fell from his hand to clatter on the floor, leaving the final rune incomplete. He knew the sigil. and it wasn't one drawn from his birth tongue. A slanted eye stared back at him from the wall. It wept a single, unfinished tear. An Eldar rune, symbolizing the grief of a goddess and the defiance of a species exiled to sail the stars. Months of fever dreaming suddenly made sense. He turned to a spiral carved into the steel wall, ringed by a crude circle ruined by its own elliptic sides. Only it was not a spiral, and not a circle. It was a vortex that stared with one malignant eye and a presence in orbit around it. He traced his fingers along the orbiting oval. What circles the great eye, trapped within its grip? The Song of Ulthanash. Talos broke the silence of the cold room, looking back at the weeping goddess. Craft world, Ulthway. That was Blood Reaver by Aaron Dembski Bowden, read by Andrew Wincott. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2019.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.